Matthew, if you would please this morning, the Gospel of Matthew for a few moments this morning, Matthew chapter number 22. Of course, if you were in our services last Sunday morning, we look in the Gospel of Matthew as well as Jesus is, getting closer and closer to going to the cross. We find, the conflict with the Pharisees and the elders and the religious leaders, and we find, there at the temple, there's been several different discussions, and we find that Jesus has used some parables. If you were in the service last Sunday, we looked there in Matthew 22 in verses 1 through 14, and we talked about that you're invited to a royal wedding. Will you come? And so as Jesus is interacting with the religious leaders and the Pharisees and all of those there, again, teaching them and preaching to them and trying to get them to understand that He was the Son of God, that He was the one that would come to, or had come to save them and redeem them. But yet they could not recognize that or would not recognize Him as the Savior. And so we find today that it changes a little bit here in this particular chapter, starting in verse number 15. We find that the attack is still coming, and we're going to look at verses 15 down through verse number 22 this morning, but if you look at the remaining part of the chapter, we find that, several different groups come to question the Lord Jesus or to attack Him. And so I thought about that, and I looked at it and I prayed over it and thought about it, and I thought, well, I'll just skip over all this and we'll go to something else. And the Lord began to show me some things in these verses of Scripture that we I believe can make application of this morning, that I pray that will help us, encourage us, help us to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you don't know Him today, my prayer would be that this very day that God would convict you and draw you unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 22, again starting in verse number 15. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God for a few moments this morning. Now, as we look at this particular text, there's several different titles that I thought about, and certainly several different thoughts. I may not be able to share all of those thoughts with you this morning, and if not, we'll maybe finish up with them tonight if the Lord will so. But I thought about it as Jesus is being attacked here in a sense. I thought about as a title or a thought from this particular text this morning, and it would simply be this: beware of the enemies of truth. Beware of the enemies of truth. Truth is still under attack, by the way. And this morning we need to beware of the enemies of truth, because as we begin to dissect this particular section of Scripture, we find those that are actually enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're enemies of truth. And today I'm afraid there's many around us that have become enemies of the truth. Now, I pray there'd not be anybody like that here this morning, but here's the thing about it. I want you to understand, we're going to be attacked by the enemies of truth. And so this morning I want to give you some things from these verses of Scripture that I pray will help us and guide us when we are attacked by the enemies of truth. Notice in verse number 15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel. Now notice that, took counsel how they might entangle Him, being the Lord Jesus now, entangle Him in His talk. And they sent out unto Him, notice now in verse 16, and they sent out unto Him their disciples, notice that, with the Herodians saying, Master, now notice in verse 16, Master, we know that Thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of men, which is true. But it's in the manner in which they came to question Jesus. And we'll talk about that. Verse 17. And tell us therefore, now we get down to where the rubber meets the road. Tell us therefore, what thinkest Thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus, notice in verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness. Notice that word, their wickedness, and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Boy, Jesus didn't, he didn't cut no bones, did he? I mean, he just got down to brass tacks there. Ye hypocrites. Verse number 19, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is the image and subscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, notice in verse 21, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Notice in verse 22, when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the teaching of the word of God, Lord, into our hearing this morning in the Sunday school hour. And Lord, for the beautiful singing, the time of worship. But Lord, I pray right now, Father, as your servant, I pray that you would anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray you give me clarity of mind and clarity of speech. I pray if there be any hindrance, Lord, it be removed. And Father, this morning that, Lord, that we would have liberty. And most of all, the Holy Ghost of God would have liberty, Lord, to search every heart and every life, Lord, in this building this morning. And if there's someone here, Lord, that's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that, Father, this would be the good day, Lord, that they would come by faith and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, there may be Christians here today that's grown cold, indifferent, Lord, whatever the need. And then, Lord, I realize today, Father, is your people that, Lord, there's always those enemies of truth. I pray this morning, God, that you would strengthen us. I pray that you would help us, that, Lord, we would ever stand and take on the responsibilities, Lord, that you have given unto us, Lord, as your people, and stand on the truths of the word of God. I pray this morning, God, that you work now among us. I want to tell you again that we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments today, again, I want us to consider from this text for you and I to beware of the enemies of truth. Just as in Jesus' day, there are those today who instead of believing and accepting the truth of God's word and the work of his son upon Calvary and his resurrection have become an enemy, if you will, to the truth. Just as they tried to trip Jesus up, they will also try and trip you and I up as well. Let us be determined this morning to believe and stand and share the truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and certainly live and operate as he has commanded us to do. So that brings us here this morning to this text, and I want us to consider some things right from the text this morning, and if I don't, I'll get through all of it again. We'll try to finish it up tonight. But isn't it amazing as Jesus now has given unto the Pharisees and the elders and all those religious leaders at that time. He went through all those parables trying to get them to understand again that he was the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the one that had come to pay their sin debt. And I want to say again this morning, thank God for the Son of God that came and paid our sin debt. Now it's up to you and I this morning whether or not we're going to believe him, whether we're going to trust him, and certainly that's entirely up to each and every individual here today. I'm glad it's more about religion. I'm glad it's a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were in the meetings this week, we were reminded over and over of the choices that you and I make concerning the things of God. And so today I want to, for just a few moments, for us to consider this text here before us. Number one, right from the text this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, a plot to trip Jesus up. A plot to trip Jesus up. Now, you say, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with us here this morning? And that we know that Jesus was the Son of God. We know that He was the God-man. We know that He certainly was holy. He was righteous. Certainly He was certainly deity. And all those things that Jesus was, and not only was, but even is today. But even in all of that, there were so many that did not recognize Him for who He was. And so they thought that they could actually trip the person of the Lord Jesus Christ up. Yeah, they thought, well, we can trip Him up. We can. Why? Because their goal was to take Him and to crucify Him, to do away with Him, because He wasn't lining up with their belief system. Right? And so we find that there's a plot, if you will, to trip Jesus up. And again, you might say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with us this morning? I want you to think about this. I wrote this down. We find that plot to trip Jesus up. And the application, I believe, this morning would simply be this. Because today of those who are simply trying to cause division and strife and ultimately try to discard our faith and damage our testimony. In other words, there's the enemy all around us this morning. Would you agree with me? And the goal of that enemy is to use anybody that he can. Now, I want you to understand something. Now, Jesus, again, being the God-man, they couldn't trip Him up. But listen, if we're not careful, we'll get tripped up. We'll get entangled with things we don't need to be entangled. See, that was their plot. That was their whole goal. And friend, it's no different for you and I that are saved here this morning by the good grace of God. Satan, he can't get our soul. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm saved and redeemed for time and eternity, and the devil can't do one thing about it. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto the Lamb of God this morning. But I'll tell you one thing he can do. He can try to trip us up. He can try to get us to compromise. He can try this morning, thank God, to bring a plot against us, against our testimony. Man, I've said it many times, and I want to say it again today. Man, you ought to guard your Christian testimony with all of your being today. But there, why? Because there's the enemies of the truth. And they're all around us this morning. And you and I need to be cautious today of those enemies that are around us. Because today, again, they try to get us to discard our faith and damage our testimony. Lord, help us today just to continue to stand on the truths of the Word of God. Hallelujah, I'm glad this book, today, will stand when this world is on fire. Friend, I want to tell you, thank God, just keep standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep standing on His Word. Why? Because there's always been enemies to the truth, and there always will be until God wraps His thing up. What I'm saying is don't fall in to the trap of the enemy. Now, Jesus, again, trying to entangle Jesus. Think about that. Trying to entangle Jesus. Thinking we're going to get something off on Him. I'm afraid today a lot of people are living their life like that, thinking they're getting something off or by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, you're not getting away with a thing. I want you to understand that. He knows. Hey, He knew the wickedness of their heart. He knew their intent. He knew their very thoughts. Boy, that's kind of a scary thing when we consider that today, isn't it? Man, I don't want to be an enemy of the truth. I want to stand on the truth. And I believe God wants that for you this morning as well, just to continue to stand on the truth. Why? Because there's enemies of the truth. We find the plot, if you will, to trip Jesus up. And so I see in this plot, number one, I see a committee. Now, it's an unusual committee. Now, for those that want to stand against truth today, they may be opposed to one another, away from the truth. But when it comes to standing against the truth, they'll stand together. And that's what we have here in our text before us this morning. We have a committee. And so I want you to understand there's something this morning. Everything that says it's of God is not of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that God gave us a discerning spirit? Not only did He give us a discerning spirit, but He gave us the scriptures in which will help us to determine that which around us this morning is of the truth and that which is of the enemy. And so we find, first of all, in this plot, we find a committee. And that committee is an unusual committee. Number one, this committee, again, is coming together against the truth. We have, first of all, in the committee, we have the Pharisees and their disciples. The Pharisees, which represented the religious group, certainly of the Jews. And, of course, again, they had Jesus had battled them ever since He started His public ministry, and certainly He continues to battle them in our text today. Can I say, be aware of those Pharisees today. I don't have time to preach on all that this morning. We may talk about that because Jesus just calls them out in just another chapter or two. He calls those Pharisees out and lets them know who they are and what they are. And I don't have time to, but I want you to see in this committee, number one, there's the Pharisees, which represents the religious crowd. Number two in the committee, and the Pharisees and their disciples. Hey, notice there's always some disciples that will stand against truth. Let's not be one of them. But not only do I see in the committee the Pharisees representing the religious crowd, then you have the Herodians. Now, they were of King Herod. And I'll get into that in just a minute. But that represented the political crowd. Oh, my. You got the political crowd and the religious crowd coming together to entangle the Savior. Now, in this day and hour in which we live, I don't know about you, but I'm about as sick of politics as anything I know of. Amen. You say, preacher, does that mean we ought not to get involved in the political process and all that? No, I'm not saying that at all. And I may talk about that some more as I get deeper into the message. But friend, I want to tell you something. We have two opposing factors in most cases coming together now so that they can entangle the Savior. There's a committee that's been formed. Better watch out for some of them committees. Nothing wrong with committees as long as they're formed for the right reason. But notice this committee is formed for the purpose of entrapping the Savior, entangling the Savior. So number one, we have a committee. Number two, we find their counsel. Notice, if you will, in verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Him in His talk. In other words, the word counsel means advisor or advice. And so not only do we see the committee, but then we see the council. In other words, they begin to talk among themselves, how can we get this accomplished? And you say, preacher, all this stuff doesn't have anything to do with us as Christians in the church. Oh, yeah. Because if we're not careful, the very thing will slip into our churches. Amen. Listen, thank God this morning for old-time religion. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for the old time way. Thank God for the preaching of the cross of Calvary. Thank God for a resurrected Savior. Thank God for people that still want to worship Him this morning in spirit and in truth and not just go through religious exercises. And you and I as Christians this morning need to be very careful how we get involved in the political process. Let me say this in passing this morning. Before some of you get this plumb thrown out of gear, our political standing and our political views ought to be based on one thing: the Word of God. The Word of God. That ought to be our guide and our gauge for all that we do as God's children. See, Jesus is going to dumbfound these Herodians here in just a little while in this text because of the stand that He takes. He lets them know, thank God, that we all ought to do our part concerning our government and concerning our God. Oh, I knew we wouldn't be swinging from the chandeliers this morning, but there's some wonderful things here if we get a hold of them. Always understand there's a plot against truth. We find the committee, we find the council, and then we find, thirdly, their corrupt reason. And it's given to us in the text. that they might encourage him? No. That they might entangle him. Has the idea of tripping someone up. Have you ever had anybody in your Christian faith to try to trip you up? Huh? Well, I believe with all of us, to be honest this morning, there's people that's come in contact with our lives that's tried to trip us up concerning our Christian faith. Oh, you don't need to really stand on that King James Bible. Why do you sing those old songs? Why do you go to church all the time? Why do you pray over your food? Why are you worried about spiritual things? Friend, I want to tell you this morning, thank God I've been bought with a price. And the price of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Thank God I owe him everything. I owe him my all and my all this morning. I owe him my very best. Thank God this morning, church. Hallelujah. Watch out, because there's an enemy that's plotting to trip you and I up. There's people not sitting in church pews this morning because they let the enemy trip them up. There's people out of the will of God this morning, not where God wants them to be, doing what God wants them to do, because the enemy has entrapped them and entangled them and tripped them up. I know preachers that's lost ministries because the enemy tripped him up. Huh? Sunday school teachers and singers and all the rest. Why? Because there's a plot. There's an enemy. Beware of the enemy of truth. And that's what they were. They were not wanting to accept the truth and believe the truth. They were wanting to entangle the truth. I want you to notice, not only do I see a plot this morning in their committee and their counsel and their corrupt reason. That brings me to this thought here quicker this morning. Why do you do what you do? Why do I do what I do? Do we have the right reasons? Do we have the right motive? See, Jesus knew all that. And he knows all that about me, and he knows all that about you. So number one, we find the plot. Number two, and I got to move on quickly. Notice number two, the political crowd. The political crowd. Now, I've already made mention of that when we talked about the council or the committee of the religious and the political coming together to entangle the Lord Jesus. But I wanted to spend a few moments this morning on the political crowd. You know, most of the time, the reason that things are politic is so that they can capture power. See, that's the struggle in our nation right now. It's a struggle for power. That's what it's all about. And certainly man has dealt with that from the dawn of time, since he was created and put in the garden. There's been a struggle, especially, just go look at Adam and Eve and look at the two boys. There's just a struggle for power. And that's what the world's doing. But can I say that shouldn't certainly entertain the thoughts of the people sitting in the church and the way things are run in the church? Hallelujah! It's not about you and I gaining power, or this church having power, that church having power, me having my way and you having your way. It's all about God's way this morning. It's all about exalting the Savior today. It's all about lifting Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But we find in the process of those that are enemies of the truth, we find not only this morning the committee and the council and the corrupt decisions that they were making, but then we find the political crowd. That was the Herodians. And they're mentioned here in this text. You will find not only does Jesus in this chapter deal with Herodians, he deals with the Sadducees, and I don't have time to deal with that this morning. And then he also deals with the Pharisees. Because they all come to entangle him. Their goal was not to glorify him and honor him and believe him. Their cause was to crucify him. And we know that that's what he had to do. He had to go to the cross. But I don't think he necessarily liked how he had to get there. Huh? Let that sink in for a little while. Notice the political grounds, the Herodians. The Herodians were a Jewish political party who sympathized with the Herodian rulers in their general policy of government and in the social customs which they introduced from Rome. Rome had them under suppression. Right? Now, as you study your Bible, you'll find that name Herod mentioned several different times. I want you to understand something. This was about the family of Herod. There were several different Herods that ruled in the time of the Bible. I don't have time to get into all those this morning. There was the wicked King Herod. There was his sons who also ruled in different areas of Israel at that time, in Jerusalem and all the surrounding areas. But they were a wicked crowd. It was King Herod that after the birth of Jesus sent out to kill all the children that was 2 years old and younger. Friend, that's wicked. And that's the crowd that's come against Jesus. Hey, by the way, it's still wicked to kill children. Hey, man, it's still wicked to kill children in the womb or out of the womb. And the political crowd, so many of them that says today, why? What's wrong with it? Women's rights, women's rights. Women's health care. Ain't got a thing to do with women's health care. Oh, preacher, you're going to get political this morning. No, I'm just trying to get you the truth. Dear God in heaven, how precious it is. How precious life is. And the sad part is, there's part some of people that call themselves a religious crowd and a political crowd coming together today to make laws in our nation that does not stand with the Word of God. There's enemies to the truth. We better beware of them. Preacher, we got to live here. Yeah, aren't you glad we're in this world but not of it? Hey, man, hallelujah. I have a greater responsibility today, and that's to my Lord and to my Savior. But also to be a responsible citizen, and Jesus deals with that. And I ain't going to have time to deal with all that this morning. But I see the political crowd, the Herodians. The Pharisees said, we'll get the Herodians to trip him up. And so they come together and they counsel. And sure enough, they send him out to Jesus. Let me say something to you also, friend. If you're here today without Christ, don't let the devil trip you up on religion. Huh? Hey, man, don't let the devil trip you up on religion or somebody that calls herself religious but don't live anywhere like the Bible says for us to live. Hey, don't let that crowd trip you up. I know people right now. And some of my family, some of them. Well, if so-and-so is a deacon, the church is full of them. Or if so-and-so is a Christian, then I can live just as good at home. Hey, that's not of the truth. God help us today. God help us. God help me. God help you. God help Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. God help every individual of this church. God help every family of this church that we would stand with the truth and not give in to the plot of the enemy and to the political powers around us this morning. God's been too good to us. God's brought us too far. God's promised us too much. God help us that we would just stand on the truth. There's the plot, and then there's the political crowd. Let's look at this political crowd for a minute. Number one, I want you to notice their flattery. There's one thing about the politicians. They're good at flattery. You know what flattery means? Flattery simply means excessive and insincere praise given especially to further one's own interest. Now, I guess if most of us was real honest, we've probably used a little flattery along the way. Yeah! Be careful of that flattery, though. It gets you in trouble. But that's what these Herodians have come to do. They had no interest in Jesus other than to trip him up. Well, preacher, where do you see flattery? It's right there in the text. Look at it. Now, God knew their heart. Remember, God knew their heart. And he said they were wicked, and he said they were hypocrites. That's what he said. I didn't say that. He said that. Notice their flattery. Look in verse 16. You know what a lot of people trip us up on is flattery. Hey, young girls, don't let some young boy trip you up with flattery, his tongue. Amen. Wives, don't let some not head out on the job or down at Walmart or anywhere else. Let him use his flattering tongue to get you out of the will of God. Young people, don't you let the people at the schoolhouse give you flattery to get you out of the will of God. I'm telling you this morning, be careful for the flattering tongue. That's what's taking place right here with Jesus. Hey, if they done it with Jesus, you don't think they won't try it on us? Oh, it sounds so good, preacher. Oh, and those younger, oh, he sounds so good, preacher. You better look deeper than the lips, amen? And the tongue. You better look to the heart. That's what Jesus does. I want you to look at it with me this morning. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. In other words, again, they in cahoots here, saying, Master. Well, preacher, all that looks pretty good. Flattery. Flattery. Master. And certainly he was master. He is master, and he'll always be master. But he's more than master, he's Lord, hallelujah. He's God. Look at the flattery. We know that thou art true. Well, if you know that, why don't you believe him? We know that thou art true. Flattery. We know that thou art true and teach us the way of God in truth. Boy, don't that sound good? Flattery is telling people what they want to hear and not really what's in your heart. Oh, we'll trip him. Hey, we'll sugarcoat him. Jesus, now, we'll sugarcoat him. We'll trip him up. Better be careful. People will sugarcoat you. They'll trip you up. Watch it. Let me run a rabbit. Preacher, you're the best preacher I know. I mean, boy, we just love you. And they're standing in the back going, they're calling somebody on. Can you believe that sorry preacher down there? Huh? Flattery. Watch him flattering tongues. I'm going to give you some scriptures here in a minute. This is probably as far as I'm going to get this morning, but I want you to get a hold of it. Be careful of those flattering tongues. Watch him now. Boy, it sounds really good. Master, we know that thou art true and teach us the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. In other words, they say, Jesus, you just love everybody. And he does. That's true. He is master, that's true. He did teach the word of God in truth, that's true. Well, if that's true, why didn't they believe him? Why didn't they trust him? Because their motive this morning was not to trust him, but to trip him. Oh, preacher, that would never happen to me. Be careful. Be careful. This political crowd. Notice number one, their flattery. Again, let me give that definition to you. You need to get a hold of excessive and insincere praise given, especially to further one's own interest. They weren't concerned in God's interest, they were concerned about theirs. Psalms 12 and 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. You didn't know something in the Bible like that, did you? The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Proverbs 26 and 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. That's what the political crowd's doing. Telling you what you want to hear. Instead of telling us the truth. You know what they ought to have done? They ought to have walked in there and said, Jesus, we think you a fraud and a phony. Why? Because that's what was in their heart. Could I say he's not a fraud and he's not a phony? Thank God he's the Savior that redeems and saves and forgives sin. And one day everybody will bow before just as they sang in that song. Number one, I see their flattering lips. Number two, let me give you a couple more verses of Scripture. I'm trying to wind this thing down, I promise. There's food over there, man. We can go eat and eat and eat. Notice I give you Psalms 12:3. Now the Lord shall cut off flattering lips. In Proverbs 26, 28, but I also like there in Psalms chapter 12 and verse number 6, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. Thank God for pure words. Thank God for the truth. You know, that's what people need to hear. They need to hear the truth. Number one, I see their flattering lips. Number two, I see their foolish questioning. Notice in the text this morning, tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now, Jesus had already demonstrated, I think, in Matthew 17, of taking the coin and getting the fish and getting the coin out of the fish's mouth and paying taxes with it and all that. Well, now they're questioning him again. Is it lawful? Is it right to give tribute unto Caesar or not? We see their foolish questions. 2 Timothy 2 and 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. There's some questions you just walk away from. I'm not going to stand and argue with you or anybody else over the Bible. I'm not going to do that. Bible stands for itself. Whether I believe it or not, whether I accept it or not, hey, the Bible is the truth. Just stand on truth. But then notice something else. 2 Timothy 2 and 16, but shame, profane, and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Number one, we see with the political crowd, we see their flattering lips. Number two, we see their foolish questions. Is it lawful? Is it lawful to give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's? We know what Jesus answers. You know what God wants us to be this morning? He wants us to be responsible citizens and responsible Christians. As an American, we have a responsibility. Like it or don't like it, we have the responsibility. And we have a responsibility when it comes to being a Christian. God wants us to live a well-rounded life of being a good... Hey, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. God's people ought to be the most patriotic people in the country. So he wants us to have a balance. In this political crowd, we see their flattering lips and we see their foolish questions. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm about done, I promise. When people come to me with a question, "Preacher, do you think it's all right to do blank?" Whatever it is. Well, most of the time, you already know the answer to that question. Is it all right for Christians to do this? Is it all right for Christians to do that? And I'm glad we don't have a bunch of do's and don't rule. Don't misunderstand me. But if we want to be responsible in our Christian walk, in our Christian testimony, there are going to be some things that we don't get involved in, some places we don't go. Now, that doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves. God give us this beautiful world in which we live to be able to enjoy it. But we've got to keep our priorities in line in doing so. But most of the time when they ask that question, I just really want to say, you already know the answer to that. Why do you even ask me? See, most people want approval, not an answer. That's pretty good, ain't it? If I did say it. Yeah, they just want approval. Not really the answer. They want you to say, it's going to be okay. Whatever you want, whatever you feel like God wants you to do. Well, now, if you phrase it in that manner, it phrases it a little bit different because it brings God into the equation. God wants you to do what's right. God wants me to do what's right. Do I always do what's right? No. Messed up terribly. I'm glad he's long-suffering. But I want you to beware of the enemies of truth. Because this is how they trip us up. Their flattering lips and their foolish questioning. Then thirdly today, and I'll close. And the reason I bring this to light on the plot and the political crowd, their flattering lips and their foolish questions, this third thing, and I'm done. But within the political thought and political realm, I wrote this down and I want you to consider it this morning. Beware of political factions within the church. They took the religious crowd and the political crowd and they brought them together for the purpose of entangling the Savior. Now, beware of political factions within the body of Christ. Oh, it's got quiet now. And this is the reason I make that statement. Because God's will does not have to be politicked. Huh? Now, a lot of people feel like they got to help things out. And they got to get this little group together. And they got to get this little group together. I've seen it happen. I've seen churches divided. This side against this side. Hey, if this side's for it, this side's against it. Now, how are you going to operate as a church like that? How are you going to honor God like that? You better beware of the enemies of truth. You know what he's doing? He's causing division and strife. Be careful when you get on the telephone and talk about your church. Woo! Ain't we having fun now? Preacher, what's that got to do with the text? Beware of the enemies of truth. See, the devil will use anything he can to try to trip and entangle the body of Christ. Ah, the flattering lips and the foolish questioning.
But beware of the political factions within the church. Hey, we're one body. What the Bible calls us to be is one body, and to operate as one body. And when we begin not to function as one body, the devil has us right where he wants us. That doesn't mean we all agree on the same things. Oh, no, we all got different ways of thinking and all the, listen, and different personalities and all that. I understand that. But at the end of the day, we have to come together under the headship of Christ and operate in a manner that is pleasing to the Savior. Not only that it's pleasing to the Savior, but it's piercing to the sinner. You hear what I'm saying? Piercing to the sinner. What are you saying, preacher? In other words, it pierces their heart and catches their attention. That we have something that they need. And that something is someone. And his name is Jesus. Beware of the enemies of truth. There's the plot. There's the political crowd. And I'm not going to deal with this morning. I may deal with this tonight. We see Jesus' position and how he deals with all of that. And I want to come back tonight, if the Lord wills, and deal with that position. But could I ask you a question this morning? Have you allowed the enemies of truth to deceive you? Have you allowed the enemies of truth to get into your way of thinking and doing? Have you allowed the enemy to convince you that everything's all right when you know in your heart that everything's not where it needs to be with the person of Jesus Christ? Let me say it this way, brothers, you get a song. Let me say it this way. Are you ready to meet Jesus? You say, preacher, can I be ready to meet him? Sure. But how we meet him is determined by the decisions that we make. Lord, help us. Lord, help us as a church to beware of the enemies of truth. Let's stand to our feet. What you got picked out for us? Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for loving us. I realize that this morning as we've stood in this place that, Lord, this message has been addressed to the heart of the believer today, for the Christian, but also for that one today that may be here without Christ. Because just as the enemy tries to trip the Christian up, he tries to keep the sinner from coming. And so this morning I pray for just a few moments of invitation time. The stillness of this invitation, Lord, as we yield our hearts under the working of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray right now, Father, that you'd speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be obedient. Lord, if there is someone here today without Jesus, I pray, oh God, convict them and draw them right now. And then, Father, for us as Christians today, Lord, let us be more determined. Father, just to continue to stand on the truth and not to be tripped up and entangled by those around us, by the enemy that is evident around us. We sure do love you. We thank you and we praise you. You take the invitation. Maybe there's a Christian grown wayward and maybe they've given in to the lies of the enemy. May they come and get their heart right and begin to live, Lord, in accordance to the way you would want them to live. Help us all to do that. And it's in Jesus' name. As they play softly for just a moment before.